Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. That is our text for today, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And the topic of our consideration today is the Christian's success. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. If someone were to ask you, what is success? How will you reply the person? Well, this question was posed to a young kid just now, less than an hour ago. Well, this is how the young kid replied, and it was a pretty intelligent answer. He said, well, probably this is how you define success. Success is not easy to define, but if you ask me to define success, well, perhaps success is getting what we long for, what we want to achieve, and when we have achieved it, we will say that it is success. Is that how we define success? Well, that is probably what the world will define as success. You ask a student who is taking his PSLE, perhaps in his mind he has a certain goal, how much he will want to score for his PSLE. And then when he reached that particular goal, he says, oh, that will be success. Probably the goal is maybe, let's say, based on my current performance, maybe 250 will be a good target. So if I hit 250, I will say that, oh, this is success. If you ask a businessman, perhaps he will set himself certain targets. Oh, by this particular month, I must make sure that I reach and I earn a certain amount. Now, if you ask a Singaporean, at one point of time, Singapore used to have a lot of talk concerning the 5 C's. Cash, condo, card, car. I do not know what else is under the C. Maybe now it has expanded to 10 C's, maybe now 20 C's. I do not know. People tend to evaluate their lives based upon material success in Singapore. Or perhaps if you ask someone who is a soccer player, he plays, for example, in the Premier League, and he belongs to one of the elite clubs. And then you will say, oh, success is this. You see, if we go through an entire season, and then if we do not win the Premier League, if we do not win the cup, that will be considered a failure. Moreover, that is only our minimum goal. If you really want us to define what is success, it will probably be term winning the treble. Premier League, FA Cup, Champions League. Whoa, that will be really called success. Anything lesser than that, well, perhaps we may be satisfied, but there is still a long way to go before we can achieve what we would term as being a successful club. What is success to you? The Christian success. Our definition of success must not be based upon what the world would term as success. Our definition of success must be based upon the Word of God itself. And that is exactly what Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 to 9 would teach us. What exactly is success and how to go about achieving it? From verses 1 to 2 here in Joshua chapter 1, we would learn what is the definition of success. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. The book of Joshua was written after the death of Moses. Moses had led the people out of Egypt. He had led the people through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But because he sinned against God, when God asked him to speak to the rock, he chose to strike the rock. He did not glorify God, and therefore he was not able to enter into the promised land. And so now Moses was dead. And the people needed someone to lead them. The children of Israel needed someone to lead them into the promised land. And so, this is the scenario that we have before us. Joshua is going to be the next one whom God will appoint to lead the children of Israel into the promised land to secure the land so that now finally the nation of Israel can be formed. At this point of time, we have only two elements of what constitutes a nation. They're all together three elements. What are they? Number one, the people. And we have the people right now. God used Egypt to be the womb for which the children of Israel would multiply in their numbers. Some people, they estimated that the number of people, number of children of Israel, the population there was probably about 2 million. So, we have the people. Number two, what you need for a nation is the constitution. And God has already given the nation, or rather the people, the children of Israel, their constitution in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, and all the various laws that you can find. All the various laws, all the various statutes, all the various ordinances that we can find in the first five books of Moses. It has already been given. What is remaining now is the land. Without the land, you cannot have a nation. And so, this will be what God has in store for Joshua. So now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, please don't pronounce this as Joshua, the son of Nun, okay? Especially children. N-U-N sounds like Nun, right? Nun. Now, if you're going to pronounce Joshua, the son of Nun, it's going to sound very funny. Joshua, the son of Nun. Nobody, right? No, it's not Joshua the son of Nun, it's Joshua the son of Nun. Okay, so please take note. Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister saying, Moses was called the servant of the Lord. Now this word servant here basically means a bond slave. Now do you like to be a bond slave of someone? A born slave virtually has no rights. Whatever you ask the person to ask the slave to do, the slave must listen. You ask him to jump how high, he must jump that high. You ask him to go and do something that sounds very ridiculous, the servant has no right to question the master, say, look, I don't want to do this for you. The born servant has no rights. And oftentimes, people don't want to be the born servant. It's considered one of the lowliest and one of the most menial of vocations that one can have. But when you are called the servant of the Lord, it is very different. It is the greatest privilege that can be bestowed upon anyone to be called the servant of God Himself, to be called the servant of Jehovah, the I Am that I Am. The one that existed even before the foundation of the world. And this was what Moses was called. He is my servant. What a high honor to receive this commendation from the Lord Himself. He is my servant and he is now dead. Now, this is what you're going to do, Joshua. That the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister saying. Now, look here. The word minister here, Moses' minister, is different from what you find earlier on, the servant of the Lord. Right, the servant of the Lord we have discussed last time, it refers to a bond slave. Here the word minister simply refers to someone who is the right-hand man of another person. So basically he's saying here, Joshua, you are the right-hand man of Moses. Moses needed help. You were there always beside him, you were helping him, and you have seen all his ways. You have seen how he has conducted yourself, how he has conducted himself. You are his minister. Joshua was not called the servant of the Lord here. That is something that we have to take note. The only time Joshua was called the servant of the Lord is at the end of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verse 29. If you turn there, very quickly. And it came to pass, right, God's word here says in verse 29, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Joshua, at this point of time, in Joshua chapter 1, where he's going to receive the charge to lead the people into the promised land, he was not called the servant of the Lord. He was only called Moses' minister, right-hand man. You want the title, the servant of the Lord? You want that privilege to be called the servant of the Lord? Now you're going to take a whole lifetime to earn it. This is what you must do. And if you do it faithfully, then you will be called Joshua, the servant of the Lord. Right now, not yet. You have not proven yourself. No, not yet. You are just simply Moses' minister. But you have seen how Moses, the servant of the Lord, conducted himself all throughout the 40 years of wilderness wandering. You have seen how he dealt with the people, how the people complained, how the people grumbled, and yet he did not compromise. You have seen how he trusted in the words which I have given unto him. You have seen how he was meek before the attacks of the people. You have seen how he was meek by the attacks of even his own brother and sister. You have seen him going through all the trials and tribulations of leading the people. How many of the people died? All those who are aged 20 years and above. When Numbers chapter 13 occurred, all those who are aged 20 and above, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. You have seen how he dealt with how that incident occurred, and throughout all the wilderness journeys for the next 38 and a half years after the incident, how he had to bury every single one of them that sinned against God. And how sad it must have been for Moses as he sees those bodies being buried. You have seen how he has faced up to the attacks of the Amalekites. You were there leading the attack yourself. And you have seen how Moses was faithful to me. Now, Joshua, that is the same that is required of you right now. The next phase. Enter into the promised land. That is your calling. That is what you must do. Moses, my servant, is now dead. So if you want to ask Moses to bring you in anymore, there's no Moses. Moses is now dead. Now you are the one. The baton has been passed on to you. The charge has been passed on to you. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou, you yourself. So firstly, Joshua, as you receive this charge, you yourself must make sure that you fulfill the calling which I give to you. Do not doubt my words. Do not doubt what I have charged you to do. You yourself, go. Because if Joshua, you yourself do not go, do not expect the rest of the people to follow you. You yourself first, go. Trust in the words and trust in the promises that I have given unto you. Lead by example to go across the river Jordan in the conquest of the land. So you yourself, thou, purposely mentioned, not just go over this land together with all these people, purposely mentioned, thou, you first. You first take note, you yourself set the example, and after that, you yourself make sure that you bring along not just some of these people, not just most of these people, but all of these people, except for the 2.5 tribes which will later remain behind, the rest of the people, all the daughters who are able of fighting men, make sure they go across the river Jordan. Unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And here the word I do give to them means I am about to give to them. It is imminent. I am about to give this. This is the next phase. You make sure that you do exactly what I am told. This is your calling. And by this, your success will be defined. For Joshua, his calling was to be the commander of the people, to lead the people across the river Jordan. He is not to shrink from his duty, he is not to shrink from his charge. And based upon that, if he follows what God has in store for him, that will be considered as success. Same for us today. We do not have the same type of calling as Joshua now. There is no people for us to lead across into any promised land, isn't it? Nobody is going to... Anybody here has a calling to lead a group of people to go to some country and to conquer, and that will be your promised land? No. All of us has a different calling. Some of us may be called to be preachers of His Word. Some of us may be called to be teachers of His Word. Others may be called to be elders. Others may be called to be deacons. Some may be called to look after the PA. Some may be called to look after the Lord's Supper Cup. Some may be called to look after administrative issues. Whatever we have, we all have a specific calling. Some may be called to be students. Some may be called to be housewives. Some may be called to be husbands. Whatever calling that God has given unto you, you do not shrink from that duty which God has given to you. You do exactly as you are told. And when you do that, that will be called success in the eyes of God. You follow just whatever God has told you to do so. You just follow after His footsteps. You just follow in His direction. Joshua, that is what you must do. This is the next phase. I am about to give it to the children of Israel. Now you go. You lead first. Set the example. And bring all the children of Israel across. Joshua, do not flinch. For with this charge also comes the assurance that I will help you, isn't it? And that is what we see from verses 3 to 5. 1 to 2, the definition of success. 3 to 5, the assurance of success. Every place that the sole of your foot... Okay, every place that the sole of your foot... Now, very interesting here, your... So this is addressing to the people, okay? Your, plural. Every place that the sole of your foot, as though the people's feet are all one singular foot, right? That it shall tread upon, as a collective foot, corporately you shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Very interesting here. Very interesting here. That have I given unto you. This word, have I given, give, is exactly the same word as you find in verse 2. I do give. But in verse 2, I do give has this understanding of it being very imminent. I am about to give you this land. Here in verse 3 is written in the perfect tense. In other words, I have already given you this land. But then you ask yourself, eh? I have not even cross over into the land. How come you say that you have already given this land unto me? This is exactly what we find sometimes in the Old Testament. That God sometimes describes the future event as though it is as good as done. Because in the eyes of God, it is really as good as done. I have already given unto you because I have promised. I have promised it to Abraham, I promised it to Isaac. Even to Moses, that was my covenant with the people, that I will give them this land. And since I swear by my name that this land is now for the people, it will be for the people. It is as good as done. And now that you know that it is as good as done, all that remains is for the consummation, isn't it? It's for you to fulfill your human responsibility to go into the place and to claim that land. The assurance, so long as you follow after my will, so long as you do not depart from the truth of my word, the land is as good as yours because it is already given. It's already given. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon in the promised land, that have I given to you. In other words, not one place will go missing from you. And so you ask yourself this question. Look at the boundaries of the promised land. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your, plural, shall be your coast. So you ask yourself, at the end of the book of Joshua, at the end of the book of Judges, even unto the end of the Old Testament, even unto today, you read this, verses 3 and 4, and you look at the boundaries, and you compare, and you look at the map. Hey, what come the nation of Israel never occupied the land as wide as this? Didn't God say it is as good as given? Why come they have never done that before? Is it because God is unfaithful? God is not true to His promises? It cannot be, isn't it? There can only be one reason: that the people of Israel did not fulfill their human responsibility in going to claim that land. The assurance was given to them: just go, just do your human responsibility and you will find good success. Why don't you do it? Well, they didn't. So first, this is the corporate charge to the people. Next, you look at verse 5. Now, take note of the change of the personal pronoun, okay? Verse 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee. Now, so you see, from verses 3 to 4 is you, right? Plural, to the people. Now, in verse 5, this whole assurance portion has now shifted towards a singular person, thee. Like T-H-E-E, right? You know, King James translation, that's where it's very good. Whenever you see Y-O-U, you know that it refers to plural. Many people, right? Second person plural. Now, thee means a single person. In other words, this was to Joshua. Assurance to Joshua himself. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, what does this mean? Now, here, not any man shall be able to stand before thee all of thy life refers to somebody standing up in opposition to Joshua. Does that mean that as Joshua attempt to conquer the promised land, he will not face with any opposition? That is far from the truth, isn't it? The people, they wanted Israel, the children of Israel, dead. The people went to fight wars with the children of Israel. It doesn't mean an absence of difficulty, but what it simply means is this: Joshua, as long as you follow after my word, as long as you continue to do my will, as long as you continue to stand in my truth, with regards to the fulfillment of your calling, no man shall be able to obstruct you. They may try, they may attempt, they may want to be in opposition of what you are trying to do for me. But bear in mind, what they are trying to do is really not to just obstruct you, but what they are really trying to do is to obstruct my work. And I will not let that happen. They will not succeed. They will not be able to oppose. I will make sure that what I have promised in my word, I will bring into fruition. I have given you this specific calling to be a commander of these people. And since I have given you this specific calling, I will also be a source of your strength. I will also be your might. I will also be your defense. I will make sure that this calling will be carried out. Joshua, just trust in me. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You look at how I've been with Moses throughout the 40 years of wilderness wandering. You look how I manifested my presence in terms of a pillar of cloud by day and a column of fire by night. You look at how I manifested my glory in the provision of food for the children of Israel. You look how I have manifested my glory by preserving all the clothes of the people 40 years. How good is it? Huh? You want your clothes to last 40 years? That generation, the clothes can last 40 years. Don't need to buy extra clothes. Not bad. Huh? Anyone here want your clothes to last 40 years? You must be in that generation. Only that generation, 40 years. And you see how I was with Moses. Did I fail the people? Did I fail Moses? No, I did not, isn't it? I was with Moses. Yes, right now that you're entering the promised land, the manna may have ceased. Now that you're entering the promised land, There is no more pillar of cloud and no more column of fire by night. My pillar of cloud by day, no more. Column of fire by night, no more. All these have ceased. But that does not mean that I'm not with you. My presence is with you, and that's all you need, isn't it? All you need is the presence of God Almighty. All you need is the presence of God, the omnipresent. All you need is the presence of God, the omniscient. What else do you need? All you need is God, isn't it? He is the infinite God. Bear in mind this, Joshua, as you enter into the promised land. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And here, very interesting description given to Joshua. Interesting promise. Carries a lot of picture within it. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fail thee has the understanding of letting a hand go of a certain object. Forsake thee has the understanding of totally abandoning something. And so there is a progression down here. I will not even let you go of my hand. And since I will not let you go of my hand, you can be very sure that I will not even abandon you. Right? Because that's how you abandon something. At first you let go with your hand and then you turn away, right? But even in the first place, I will not let go of my hand. And if I will not let go of my hand on you, surely I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. But that is only if you follow verses 6 to 9. So you have the definition of success. You have the assurance of success. You have the way to success. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou cause... For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance. Literally, we will cause the people to inherit the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Same word again, to give them. But now, you will be the one to cause them to receive this land. But the condition, be strong and of a good courage. Of course, here, be strong and of a good courage would refer to having the moral strength and the courage to continue to stand firm in the will of God and in the word of God. Not to depart of it. Not to depart from it. And this command here, be strong and of a good courage, is very interesting. It seems like this is perhaps the thing which Joshua is struggling with. This is not the first time he received this command. Be strong and of a good courage. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 31. And you look at verse 6. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that go with thee. He will not fear thee nor forsake thee. Now, you look at verse 6. This one firstly was given to the people. Okay, every single person, you must make sure you are strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Referring to the various people, various enemies that occupy the land of Canaan, okay, the Canaanites, whoever is there, okay, for the Lord thy God, he is with thee, every individual of you, of the children of Israel, he will not fear thee, nor forsake thee. Then after that, verse 7, he turned personally to Joshua, Moses, okay, Moses himself, turned personally to Joshua, and Moses himself, before he died, he told Joshua, and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, so first, all Israel, every single one of you, you bear, and you take note, this is what you must be like. You yourself make sure you are strong and courageous in the Lord. You have the moral courage to do what is right. You have the moral courage to, you have the spiritual courage to follow God in whatever He asks you to do. Even though sometimes certain things which God asks you to do may seem ridiculous in the eyes of the world, you just do. Then after that, he turned. And then he called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. Now this is a personal charge in front of all Israel. Yes, all Israel, you must bear note of this. But especially you, Joshua, you as the leader. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with the people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit. It's that same expression as in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Thou will cause them to inherit the land, right? You look at verse 6, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, right? That expression in the Hebrew is exactly the same as what you see here in verse 7. To give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Same expression. As though that is not enough, you look at verse 23 of the same chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 23, again, he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and this is definitely in the sight of all the children of Israel, because verse 22, he wrote the song, right? And he taught it to the children of Israel. And then he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge. Again, a public charge as the leader. You yourself take note. As the leader, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. See that? So twice by Moses told to Joshua himself. Now, so when God mentioned this in verse 6, of Joshua chapter 1. It is not the first time which Joshua has heard it. He has heard it personally from Moses. God himself find it necessary to reiterate this same command to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Are you a fearful person? Especially when it comes to doing what God has called you to do and to do what is right. That is exactly what Joshua is needed to do here. Sometimes we may know that this is what is right in God's word. We know that God is directing us to do these certain things. But because if we do these things, we may face opposition, we may face difficulties, we may be ostracized by the people of the world, and not only just people of the world, but perhaps even people who profess themselves to be Christians. And therefore, we are very afraid of doing it. Joshua may be that kind of person. Joshua, you cannot be like this. You cannot be a fearful Christian. Did I not promise you that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee? You have seen it in the life of Moses. You have seen how Moses was not afraid of all the complaints and murmurings of the people. He just stuck with whatever I told him to do. And that very single time where he did not stick with what I tell him to do, because of that, he could not enter into the promised land. Now, same thing down here. You make sure you be strong and of a good courage to just follow what I need to do. The people of the world may not understand. The enemies of the Canaanites may laugh at you. Your own people may not even want to hear you. But you yourself, Joshua, you set the example as the leader. You must be strong and of a good courage. Whatever I tell you to do, you just follow. Because if you as the leader do not follow, do you think the people of Israel will be strong and of a good courage and go in to conquer that land? You must, therefore, do this. Be strong and of a good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You see, repeated in verse 7 to Joshua. So altogether, Joshua hears this how many times? Two times in Deuteronomy chapter 31 to himself. One time to the people, so three times. Fourth time in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fifth time in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. That thou, and this is defined for us, what do you mean by strong and very courageous? Now, if you're strong and very courageous in doing the wrong thing, then it's not good, right? I'm very strong and courageous to go and, right, recently there's somebody, Raffles Place, is it? There's this stabbing incident. You're very strong and courageous to go and, in Singapore, who were there to stab? And he go and step, right? Sure enough, he can't run far. He was caught immediately. How to run in Singapore? And maybe so you can't even run in Singapore. You want to run in Singapore, all the vehicle all will have GPS tagging. You want to drive the car? Everywhere will GPS tagging, distance-based tagging. You read that on the newspaper, right? I read that from Chinese News Asia while I was in Australia. Satellite tagging. So you want to run, also no use, so they know where your car is. Well, so for any person to do that, he must be very strong and very courageous. But you're strong and courageous in doing that.
No count.
You must be strong and courageous in what? In doing, to observe, to do according to not some, not most, but all of the law, which I have given unto thee, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Right? In the first five books. All written down, all given to you. That is what you must be strong and very courageous in doing. That is the definition of strong and courageous. Okay, so please, do not think that strong and a very courageous person, so therefore the Lord is pleased. No, strong and courageous in doing what is right, in other words, what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And so, when we talk about being a Christian, please do not have this idea that being a Christian means that I'm a very, that all the time I must necessarily be a very nice person. So, you know, sometimes people are very afraid of offending people. Offending people, why? Because I will receive a lot of trouble, especially in terms of ministry, maybe perhaps in the workplace. I'm very afraid of not gossiping against my boss, because everybody say my boss is bad, and if I do not say, people may think that I'm a book leaker. So therefore, I'm very afraid to not say anything bad about boss, so I join in, even though I know it is wrong. See, and you do that because you fear your colleagues. Same for those who are young people, isn't it? Oh, I know that I shouldn't be going out there to watch this particular movie, but if I do not go and watch this particular movie, I'm going to lose all my friends. They're going to think that I am a nerd. So therefore I must go, because if I don't go, I am not cool. So you are not strong, you're not courageous, you just follow. Same for things pertaining to the church, isn't it? You know that a certain decision cannot go on. 99.9% of the church may think that this is the right way to go, but you know that this is not according to God's word, this is not God's will. Would you dare to stand up and say, I cannot agree with this? Oh, sure, you say that you do not agree with this. Everybody will say, oh, this is a horrible person. This person opposes all of us. Let's kick him out of the church. But will you have the moral backbone to do it? Christianity is not about being nice. Of course, this doesn't mean that you are very abrasive. Every time you go out, you want to fight with people. Well, this is strong and courageous. That does not mean that. Okay, that is not wisdom. So please do not understand. Sometimes, certain when it comes to things, you need to apply wisdom, heavenly wisdom. Right? It doesn't mean that you are to be an abrasive and an argumentative person. But what it means that when the cause of God determines that this is the particular action that must be taken because this is according to His word, this is His will, then you must not fear man, you must only fear God. And do whatever is written inside His word. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all. So it's not buffet Christianity, it's not pick and choose. Like go to a buffet table, I only like to eat oyster, so I only choose oyster. Okay, then the rest, I don't like to eat the other portions of the sushi bar, I do not like to eat the salad, and then I just leave it there. No, okay, this is not buffet Christianity. All of God's law, all of God's word, which you have been commanded via Moses, you just do, you make sure you do not turn to the right hand nor to the left. Picture is that of a straight road. You just walk in that straight road that now mayest prosper. Very interesting word. Some of you in the slide column, you may have this other translation there, do wisely. Right? And that is exactly what it means. That thou mayest prosper because you have a discernment and good spiritual understanding of what it needs to be done. And you do it. And because of that, because of that good spiritual understanding of what you know which needs to be done, you're able to comprehend the situation, and therefore God makes sure that you can fulfill His will. That is what it means. But then how are you going to make sure that you can do all of the law if you do not even know the law in the first place? And that is why you have verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So you want to make sure that you can do all that is written therein? You first make sure that you know the word of God well. How do you do so? Joshua, this is what you must do. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, please do not think that as Joshua goes about conquering the promised land, he is forever reciting the word of God. Like from the book of Genesis all the way to the end of Deuteronomy, and then he starts reading in Hebrew. A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D. I think if anybody of you really do this, I think the people outside will think you're crazy. Outside, you, as you walk among the MRT, suddenly you're reciting Psalm 119 from the start to the end. That you will appear like a person of not a sane, of not being a sane mind. So you must understand what God's word is trying to say here. Okay? On this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Refers to a practice of the children of Israel that as they memorize God's word, they will tend to read with soft undertones. And so when they read, it's not just read vainly, recite, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and as though it's some magical chant. But to read it softly with undertones in order that it may be hidden in their hearts. Not just in their minds, but in their hearts. And not only is that not enough, you still must proceed further on. Right, so a lot of time people say memorize God's word. But if you memorize God's word and you don't memorize it with understanding, what is the point? You must memorize it, you must know it, and at the same time you must make sure that thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And this talks about the understanding. Read God's word to remember God's word and also to understand his word. Ponder upon it. How do we go about doing our quiet time? How do we go about reading God's word? A lot of times we talk about read, pray, and grow. And God willing, that will be the theme for next year in Tabernacle. Read, pray, and grow. But what do we mean by read? Is reading just simply opening the Bible and then just, I fulfill my duty of the day, I just read from, like let's say today is Joshua chapter 1, I just read from the first word now until the next word courage, and that's the end, that's called reading? No, when you read, you make sure you read and then you ponder and ask the Holy Spirit to illumine you, to help you to understand what exactly God's word is saying. And that is exactly what is required for Joshua. Joshua, you want to have good success? And here, of course, good success, remember the definition. The good success is defined by Joshua fulfilling what God has given him as his charge. Lead the people into the promised land and cause them to inherit the land. You want to fulfill that? You make sure, first, you know God's word well. You make sure every day you read his word. You read his word and you read the word with understanding. You study his word, in other words. And that's why here in Tabernacle BP, we try our very best to give various avenues for the study of God's word. We have the Sunday school, God willing, later on, both the adults, the youth, and as well as the young children, they will study the word. We also have the various fellowship groups. We have the Ebenezer and we have the Shomerim, and right, the adults also have, right, this 22nd of November, this coming Saturday. They will be having their Bible study. Right? You all will be having a Bible study on charismatism. Then we also have the Bible seminar, right? Yearly Bible seminar, both for the Chinese, both for the English as well as the Chinese. The Chinese, they call it the revival meeting. And then also there are various opportunities outside, like that of the for the young people. There is the Fundamental Christian Ministry, Ministry of Kauri Pandan. To all the tertiary students, they can attend there. They can learn God's word from there. And then you also have the FEBC night classes where you can go and take, and then you can go and learn more of God's word. Deeper, and not just that, but also your daily personal Bible study, to have an organized Bible study program. Okay, today this particular time, I want to study the book of Joshua, and so how do I go about studying the book of Joshua? And then you make sure you study, meditate upon every word. And when we talk about meditating about every word, of course, remember, it's not just reciting your mouth everywhere you go. It's not just lock yourself in the room and then don't come out. Of course, that's not what it means. But it means that every day, Every single moment of my life, I make sure that based upon my understanding of God's word, I evaluate everything that is occurring around me. I make sure that the way God thinks is the way I think. I make sure that the way Christ will speak will be the way I will speak. I make sure that the way Christ will do certain things is the way I will do it. I make sure that I will obey and follow all that is written therein. Study. Study so that you know God's will for you in your life. Study God's word, and then you know how to obey. Ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. Joshua, ignorance is no excuse. You cannot say you don't study the book of the law, and then when you don't study the book of the law, and then say, I don't do it. No such thing, Joshua. You make sure you study. You make sure you study so that you know what to do. When the time comes for you to do, you cannot tell God, I do not know what to do. I have already given you the word. You must study it. So please do not say that, oh, okay, I only want to come to church on Sunday, and then after that I put the Bible there, and then never mind, everything is all right. Ignorance is bliss. My friends, ignorance is not bliss. You must know God's word. Because if you say that you are ignorant, and you are ignorant because you fail to study God's word, God will say, I have given you 66 books. I have given you more than what Joshua has. And yet you do not study the 66 books. You must know God's word. And then you make sure you do according to all that is written therein. You see, again, reiterated for us. Do according to all that is written therein, and when you do so, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. This word prosperous is different from the second one, general word for success, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, this is the same word as prosperous in verse 7. You realize that God did not tell Joshua that in order to conquer the promised land, to fulfill what I've called you to do, you need good military tactics. God did not give to him a manual of good military tactics. The people of the world, when they want to conquer a land, they say, okay, firstly, I need to study good military tactics. Secondly, I make sure I must have good weapons. Thirdly, I make sure I must have this, I must have this, I must have this. God says, you want to fulfill my will, all you have to do simply is to just follow my word. Know my word well and follow it. That's all. Very simple, isn't it? And yet, it takes a whole lifetime to learn. Just simply follow my word. Of course, this does not mean that when we go about certain things, you do not plan, right? And do not do due diligence. Later, you will realize that as God willing, if next time in the future we really do have the opportunity to study the book of Joshua, you will realize that as Joshua goes about conquering the promised land, it does not mean he does not do human responsibility to plan wisely, like how to conquer a certain place or what. He does do it, but it does not mean that he do it without praying to God or without seeking God. He always depended upon God, except for certain instances where he failed to depend. And he learned a very hard lesson from those. First lesson, AI, isn't it? Achan did not heed God's command not to touch the accursed thing from Jericho. That has already been cursed, set apart for destruction given unto God under a ban, under a harem ban, curse of God. It was supposed to be given to God. You are not supposed to keep it. Achan did not listen. There was sin in the camp. When the people of Israel go, they failed to pray to God. They thought that simply by sending a small army, they can conquer Ai. And they learned a very hard lesson from there. And then Joshua prayed, oh, why did this happen? Would it not better that if we have not come into this promised land? And then God had to tell him, Joshua, you stop praying. You stop praying because you know the reason why. Did I not promise you in Joshua chapter 1 that no man shall be able to stand before thee in terms of fulfilling my will? The only reason why this can occur is because it must be because not all the law is being done. There is sin in the camp. So go, fix it. Go and make sure that this sin is eradicated. And when that sin was eradicated out of the camp, indeed, God make sure that Ai was given into the hands of the Israelites. Second incident, that of the Gibeonites, isn't it? Again, he trusted the children of Israel, and Joshua himself trusted what was before them. They came all, they pretended to come all the way from a very far land, taking old bread, old shoes and everything, and based upon appearance, Joshua concluded, oh, they must have really come from a very far land, so it's okay to make a pact with them. Lo and behold, they were just the neighbors. But whenever Joshua and the children of Israel heeded what was said here, they managed to conquer the various portions of the promised land in which they entered to conquer. God gave the land of Canaan unto them. Why did the book of Judges occur? Why was there a period of judges? Because they forgot all about Joshua chapter 1. They forgot all their human responsibility. They forgot the charge of God for them to go and eradicate every single one that was in the land. And because of that, the people of the land, those who are unbelievers, became thorns in the sight of the children of Israel. But you follow good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Number what time was this given to Joshua? 6 times. So, 6 times he heard that. In fact, later on, he's going to hear it the 7th time. If you look at verse 16, according as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. This time the people charge him. Only the Lord thy God be with him, with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. 7 times, this time from the charge, from his own people. Just make sure, Joshua, you are strong and of a good courage in obeying God's word, and then we will follow. See that? So 7 times Joshua heard that. Okay, first time he heard God charging the general children of Israel. Okay, the whole group. 2 times Moses charged Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. So 3 times. 3 more times here, God reiterated the charge to Joshua. So 6 times. 7 times the people themselves told Joshua, only be strong and of a good courage. That's all is required, isn't it? Only be strong and of a good courage in following the word of God. And when you do that, the Lord, you have no need to be afraid. You have no need to be dismayed. You are very sure that the Lord, your God, He's not any other God. He's not just the Lord, the God, but it's the Lord, your God. You have a personal relationship with Him. He is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest, what more do you need? Just make sure, in other words, that you are on the side of God. And if you're on the side of God, there's nothing to be afraid of. That is the way to success, the Christian success. We have learned today what is the definition of success, isn't it? Success in the Christian sense means fulfilling what God has for us to do, doing whatever God has willed for us to do, following His word, just follow after the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have learned that as long as we do that, assurance is given unto us that God will help us to fulfill the calling that He has given unto us, whatever that calling may be. You may be a housewife, God will help you to do that. He will grant you all that is necessary to do all the duties that you need to do. The only reason why we do not receive that strength to do that is because we don't follow the third thing, and that is the way to success. We neglect the way of success. We think that by our own strength, by our own methods, by our own intelligence, we can fulfill whatever role that God has given unto us. And that's where we falter. But God tells us, all you need to do is follow my word. All you need to do is be in my truth. All you need to do is to depend on me. And will I not be with thee? I will surely be with thee. The assurance is given. Success will be sure. Right now, what is going to happen for Tabernacle, the next hurdle that probably will come will be the premises. And there is a lot of consideration and deliberation how to go about it. Now, how to go about it? How to make sure that there is good success in the ministry of God? It's not to go the way of the world. Sure, we do due diligence to go and find out all the various possibilities that are available to us. But we must make sure that we do all things according to the word of God. Don't do anything that is outside. Don't be like the world, go and do some fundraising. Right? The churches, they try and do some fundraising. A lot of churches in Singapore try and do fundraising or take a loan from the bank or have interest-free loans. Now, interest-free loans, why interest-free loans? I know that in the past, there has been interest-free loans that have been carried out in certain sectors of the BP circle. But you just ask yourself, according to the theology of giving, when you have interest-free loans, what does that mean? You mean you are loaning to God? But if you check the scriptures, is there loaning to God? You ask yourself this. In the scriptures, it's always giving to God. You mean God has given you His only begotten Son? He has delivered you out of darkness into the marvelous light and then be loaned to God? Give to God. Depend upon Him. Slowly walk step by step. Do not be afraid of whatever things that may come our way. Only be thou strong and of a good courage. Whatever area of ministry that we are in, whatever God has called us to do, student, housewife, husbands, teachers, just follow after God's word. And there will be good success. May God help us. Let us pray. Most gracious Father in heaven, the God who keeps this world in place, the sustainer of this world, and the one who has given us thy precious word for us to know, for us to believe, and for us to obey. How we pray that you will grant us the moral courage to follow after thy word. And we know, Lord, that thou art a faithful God. The promises in thy word are yea and amen. And so teach us to trust thee, just like how you have told Joshua to do. And we know that we shall surely find good success. So may thou help us to remember what we have learned and continue to lead us and guide us in the way of truth. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen.